Everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
I'm Adam Todd Brown.
Who are you? I'm Gary Martin.
And happy Halloween in July. It's not Halloween, but it's always kind of like Halloween when you're listening to the Pretty Scary podcast. Am I right? I don't think I am. Oh, look at that. You got a snowman, a Halloween snowman. I wish everyone was on the Zoom to see it.
We had a leak in one of our closets and a
snowman fell out.
Our snowman is the one thing that ended up on my desk.
Just burst pipe full of wired snowmen flying all over the place. Carrie, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you so much for asking, Adam. How are you?
I am great. We took last week off because we are super duper patriotic. And it was the 4th of July, and we had to set off fireworks. That's what we did Monday through Sunday last week. And now here we are recording Pretty Scary.
So fireworks are legal, at least where I'm at in Iowa. So those went off forever. But luckily, my dog isn't one of those that gets scared. I think she's had so much trauma that nothing fazes her anymore. So that was okay. But I did have some sweatpants that were camouflage with red, white, and blue cuffs.
Sure.
And I wore those to work on the 4th of July. And I got compliments as only one would do in Iowa.
Sure.
Because no one complimented them in California.
That would be a whole different round of comments if you wore those in LA to work. I would argue. Yeah, fireworks, I don't think are legal in LA, which means, at least in my neighborhood, people just opt for artillery shells instead, apparently, because it sounded like there was mortar fire happening in my neighborhood. It literally sounded like my neighbors were at war. And here's the thing, I was kind of into it. Like, it was so intense. I just sort of wanted to sit outside and listen to it. But I didn't have to because I could hear it inside because I had my windows open. And yeah, I just got a cat recently and she was chill. She didn't love it at first, but eventually she was like, well, I'm not going to just be scared this whole time. That's a lot of energy. Right. So she just slept on the couch and it was cool.
Good kitty.
She's a very good kitty. Shout out to Mimi. So we're doing a creepy news roundup episode this week. Very chill, very relaxed. We're coming back from vacation, cooling out, baby. Sorta. I mean, we're talking about people like almost dying and things like that. But still, how about this first story? A U.S. swimmer almost drowned after fainting in the pool during a competition. This, I guess I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often now that I think about it.
Well, I would assume that if swimmers are drowning in pools, I would think it would be like one of those Red Bull free fall dives. Because I don't know that those have many regulations, if any.
No, those don't. They're sponsored by Red Bull. Red Bull doesn't even have regulations.
So, and I think with this lady, she is an artistic swimmer, which I didn't know was a thing, but I appreciate all the arts.
I don't know exactly what that means. Like, I know what synchronized swimming is, that stuff where the ladies with the shower caps on do the moves in the water. But yeah, this was a solo artistic swimming routine by United States swimmer Anita Alvarez. She was
maybe it's like their ice dancing.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that, or like rhythmic gymnastics where you just wave that stupid ribbon around the whole time
in water.
Yes. This happened in Budapest, Hungary at the FINA World Aquatics Championships. One thing I found really interesting, this is apparently the second time this has happened to Anita Alvarez. And yeah. try as I might, I could not find a single story about it happening the first time. I just saw it referenced in a few articles that this happened before to her.
I will say, as far as Anita goes, and the words of P. Diddy.
Sure, sure.
Can't stop, won't stop.
True. Yeah, her coach actually made sort of a joke about this. And she said that this was Anita's best performance in that she pushed through her limits and then found them. And if you think about it too hard, that doesn't make any sense because you have to find your limits to push through them in the first place. But she thought it was funny. Mm. I don't know if there's video of this, but there's pictures of this. She was saved by her coach. There's a picture of her just sinking underwater and her coach fully clothed diving in to get her, which... Is there no one else? Like, could her coach not have been like, hey, you, person who's half naked and assigned to saving swimmers who almost drown, get in there and get her. She's drowning.
Or, lifeguards.
Yes. I think that's what they're called. Bay watchers. Hey, get in the water, Pam Anderson. She's talking to
and
a
I
dude.
Don't know if the coach, was this the second time the coach had a saver?
She died the first time. And
so this was her ghost.
We actually all died with her.
Gave her
now,
best yeah. performance. Well, good.
Yeah, I don't know what happened the first time. I couldn't find anything about it, but clearly someone saved her. Maybe it was just...
I'm just imagining if it was the coach. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Like, yeah.
Again?
Yeah, you're going to keep her on the team after this?
Well, maybe you start wearing a swimsuit to coach, just in case.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Like, baseball managers, they wear uniforms.
Fair.
Why can't swimming coaches?
They should.
I 100% agree, and I think it's the biggest detail of this story. This doesn't strike me as the kind of swimming that would lead you to overexerting yourself. Like, I could see if you're swimming, like, the 1500 or something in the Olympics, and you get to, like, 1100 and just swim underwater and lay there for a little bit until someone comes and saves you. But this, it's, I would think you're just... flopping around. If I was a more responsible podcast host, I would have gone out and looked up video of artistic swimming.
I mean, if I was a more athletic co-host that didn't get winded after walking up just one flight of stairs, I would try it.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, maybe. Actually, probably not. But if anyone out there, I don't want to challenge people, but if anyone has extra time on their hands and a pool and you can send a video.
I mean, I have... a pool in theory. The complex where I live, there's a pool. I could go out there and just, you know, straight up get after it. I'm watching a video of an artistic swimming solo performance now. Oh yeah, hell yeah, I'd die doing this. You kidding me? Because you
gotta
swim the length of the pool, but also you stop every once in a while and like do all that synchronized swimming shit that those synchronized swimming fans are into, the leg kicks and the hurdy-gurdies and things. And then you gotta swim the whole length of the pool while you're doing that. So yeah, I see why Anita Alvarez has almost died twice doing
this.
She's
tired.
Yeah. It reminds me of, there's a Netflix documentary series called Home Game that covers weird sports from different locations around the country. And there's an episode about free diving, which is very popular in the Philippines. And basically all you're doing is seeing how far you can dive underwater without oxygen. You just hold your breath. And if you've ever seen any movies where people go deep underwater, you know when you come back up, you can't just like fly back up because you'll give yourself the bends and die. So you have to come back up very slowly all while you're holding your breath. And the final requirement is you cannot pass out at the end of your routine. And if you do, you're disqualified. And it happens all the time. People get to the top of the water and just, ugh. But in that case, there's like tons of people around expecting it to happen. So you're fine.
That's crazy too. I don't understand that kind of thrill seeking, but that does make a lot more sense physically and scientifically than possibly her. You would also think, because the picture I saw of her, I mean, she's in great shape. I would assume, you know, they're used to swimming and they have amazing lung capacity and everything else. I don't know. If she has a history of it, like maybe there's something else wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Her coach, who we should mention, her coach's name is Andrea Fuentes. She's the one who saved Anita Alvarez.
So Daisy's sister.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. She deserves a mention here. It seems like Anita Alvarez just pushes herself really hard. I mean, not hard enough to finish better than seventh in this competition, which I'm going to be honest, not too shabby given the fact that she almost died. But still, there's no medal. There's no participation trophies in the FINA World Aquatics Championships carry.
I will say, and I don't know if this is in the same vein, but when I pushed myself really hard in seventh grade in the spelling bee, the Journal Star spelling bee, and came in eighth, I didn't pass out.
Yeah. When I appeared on television in the Journal Star spelling bee and misspelled the word furl, like I did black out a little bit. Otherwise, I would have obviously nailed that word. It's a four-letter word. Who's going to misspell that on television?
F-U-R-L.
Yes, correct.
Yep. So I think what we're saying is that we understand to a degree what Anita went through as also being champions of our sports.
Yeah, I think as world-class athletes ourselves, it's easy
in the world of spelling.
It's easy to relate. Well, sports are sports, you know.
Right.
Poker is a sport. The Westminster Dog Show, longest-running sporting event in the United States. People don't realize that.
I would love to put my dog in the Westminster Dog Show because she's adorable.
Sure.
But like, they're so judgy about the looks, and she has the one eye.
They do take the looks seriously.
They do. And the fact that I don't 100% know her age or her species.
Right. That's going to be a hindrance.
Well, I mean, dogs.
I don't know if legally they can require that dogs have both eyes. That seems like it would violate some sort of Canines with Disabilities Act or something.
I'm just waiting for the Westminster Dog Show to have more woke judges. And then I'm going to enroll Winx.
That makes perfect sense, Carrie. Mm-hmm. And I think that is how it works. You just enroll your dog in the Westminster Dog Show and then they're in.
Hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're going to win. You never know. So, yeah, Anita Alvarez did not die. And that's good. I would argue that it's a good thing. She's having a rough go of things. She came back from the 2020 Olympics, which right there, those happened in 2021. So she had to wait a whole year to actually do that, even though she qualified. Got a bone fracture as soon as she comes back. Has to get foot surgery. Then she gets COVID. Maybe that is why she almost drowned in this pool. Maybe it fucked with her lung capacity.
Well, not everyone knows the long-lasting effects of COVID. I know, I mean, I guess a handful of people who still can't smell.
Oh, that would suck. Can they taste?
Yeah, smell. No, but smell, taste. They say like they'll put, I have one friend who also is pregnant with her first child when she got COVID. And she goes, I can have an orange under my nose and nothing.
Oh, that would be the worst.
Right.
So let's talk about this next story. It seems like there is a monster stalking around the city of Amarillo, Texas, which we're almost certainly supposed to be pronouncing that way, right? And not Amarillo, like we do pronounce it.
Yes. Like, what was the one? Teja? The one where Anna Nicole Smith is from.
Oh. Well, she's from Texia or something like that.
I think it's Teja.
No, because it's with an X. But that is the discussion we had.
J's, X's, everything is silent.
That's all.
In Texas.
Yeah. Everything's quiet in Texas.
Houston, Texas. Yeah.
Houston. Yes. Yes.
That's it.
And Ann Antonio. Alice. So Amarillo, Texas, or Amarillo, say it however you want. No one cares. I mean, a lot of people probably care. Mm-hmm. But there's something happening there. The city first posted the picture of this creature. It was spotted outside the zoo, like around a perimeter fence. They had a camera set up and it does look weird. Like it's standing upright, but it doesn't seem to have the upper body of a person. It looks like a coyote with Kurt Cobain's legs.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out to the city for help. They jokingly asked the public for help. This is a quote. We just want to let the Amarillo community have some fun with this. I assume they say it Amarillo. It is important to note that this entity was outside the zoo. There were no signs of attempted entry into the zoo. No animals or individuals were harmed. There were no signs of criminal activity or vandalism, end quote. Well, first of all, then leave this thing the fuck alone. If it didn't attack anything and it didn't commit any acts of vandalism, mind your business, zoo. That's what I say.
I took a look at the picture.
Uh-huh.
And I identified it immediately.
Oh, okay. What is it?
It is the fireball mascot.
It does actually look like the fireball mascot.
Yeah.
did you call the tip line, or are you just keeping that all to yourself?
No, I tried. The tip line is closed. Oh. So I figure, yeah, why drag the story back into the news?
It's the kind of thing, you know, it's just going to go up the ladder, up the ladder, up the ladder. And then the CIA is going to shut it down once it gets to them. Because the public outcry, if we found out the Fireball whiskey mascot was real, like that would be just like finding out aliens were real. Like it would send the public into a panic. Like how many of them are there?
Well, there was a video of a Fireball mascot riding a bike. And when it stopped for pictures, it was able to put both of its legs down and not topple over. So I don't know if they can legally run for POTUS, but I would vote for it.
I mean, as long as it's born in the United States.
And is 35 years old.
Well, yeah, other requirements too. But let's focus on what's really important. This thing's at the border, Carrie. So also, yeah, if this really is a monster, I don't know what's so funny about this. I guess the fact that it didn't go
do anything?
Yeah, it didn't. I don't know if it's more or less concerning that it walked past a zoo full of animals of all sorts of delicious varieties and didn't eat a single one. Is it maybe an herbivore? Maybe it only eats plants, or maybe it only eats people.
Maybe it only eats people who drink Fireball.
Yeah, maybe it only drinks whiskey.
Cinnamon whiskey at that.
That would be a fun time monster. Oh no, here comes the party monster. Oh, we got to drink cinnamon with. I'm sorry, officer. I know I'm driving, but the party monster, he stopped me. I understand. Yeah, just keep it between the ditch.
Right home.
Keep it between the ditches on the way home, son. I understand.
God, if there was a party monster in Amarillo, 100%, I would move there.
Have you ever been to Texas?
Plenty of times, but typically it's Dallas or Houston that I go to.
Weren't you just there recently?
I was just in Dallas for my friend Michelle's wedding, and it was beautiful. But yeah, those are primarily the two cities. And when I work for the SEV, their home base is Dallas.
I have said it several times, the very best comedy show I ever did, like my absolute best set ever, was in Dallas on Halloween night at a Portugal the Man show. I don't know why I didn't fucking record it, but that's my only experience in Texas in general, is a couple nights in Dallas where I ate very good food and did a very good show. So I love Texas.
I do too. They have good meats.
Just that part. And I have friends down there. Yeah, the meats are good. I had some good barbecue in Texas. I was not let down. All the places that claim they have good barbecue, they do. There's no point arguing about is Texas better than Kansas City? No, they're all just good. Kansas City barbecue, fucking rules. Texas, rules. Memphis, mm-hmm. probably rules. Never been there. But smoked meats are just delicious. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I absolutely agree. And I like a good side.
Mm-hmm. I like a barbecue BB, short for baked beans.
Mm-hmm. A good mac and cheese, a good cornbread.
I like a collard greens.
I'm indifferent about that one.
Mm. They got to be cooked right. I don't like a bitter collard green, which they're all bitter, but some are tasty bitter.
I like the baked beans with the ham chunks in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pork and
beans. A good deviled egg.
Hate a deviled egg with the intensity of three burning suns.
Oops.
But
all right, I lost you.
You can you can have my deviled egg if they serve them with our barbecue.
So Austin's becoming quite the mecca for comedy, I believe, a la Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it seems like comedians who are tired of California being woke, quote unquote, are heading off to Austin. And here's the thing. Good riddance. Let's talk about Alexa. Good news, Carrie. Alexa can now mimic the voice of your dead relative. Finally, the dream we've all dreamed of has come true. Alexa can answer your stupid questions in Nana's voice from the beyond. It's all thanks to an experimental new feature Amazon rolled out for its Alexa spy machines. They demoed this feature at their annual Mars conference, which means machine learning, automation, robotics, and space. I wish there was not an Amazon Mars conference. Gonna be honest.
Why?
Just mail packages. Just there's so many things on the internet we just need to roll back. Like, we need to roll the internet in general back to before social media. Amazon needs to, I'm gonna be honest, maybe just sell books again. But at the very least, just sell shit. and stop doing like facial recognition and robots and sending people to space.
Isn't Bezos still in charge?
He sure is. Yeah.
And he went to space. This isn't stopping. It's just getting started.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I wish we could roll it all back to before this, but we can't. Amazon is an unstoppable nightmare now. And
so, question.
Yes.
Would you want an Alexa that played one of your dead relatives' voices or the voice of a dead person that you were a fan of, like John Lennon or...
Oh, I would definitely pick...
Heath Ledger.
The voice of someone I was a fan of over a relative. That would be... Like, if what they should do is what I think it was Garmin or one of the GPS companies at one point had an option where the voice could be like Snoop Dogg. And like, who doesn't want Snoop Dogg giving you driving directions? Like, I still don't want an Alexa in my home, but if it was a thing I was interested in owning and I had voice options, yes, I would want it to be a celebrity thing as opposed to a people I know thing. I'm not trying to give Amazon all the ammunition they need to deep fake a recording of my grandmother professing to be a Nazi or something.
To feel like it's like what, grandma reading a book to your kids or something. I don't know. I feel like my kids wouldn't understand it. It opens up a whole new conversation that I don't want to have. I just feel like it's reopening wounds. Like you're just continually mourning that death.
Yeah, in this case, the thing they demonstrated at this Mars conference, Alexa read a bedtime story to a kid in the voice of that kid's recently deceased grandmother, whose actual soul is trapped inside that machine where it will remain cognizant of the helplessness of its situation for a torturous eternity. They didn't include all of that information at the conference, but I think all of it's true.
And how do you think that it would ever be able to escape?
It wouldn't. That's what the Black Mirror episode is about. There is actually a Black Mirror episode that is basically this, where there is an Alexa-type device, like a virtual assistant, but it's
in... Was this the one with Miley Cyrus?
No, well, yeah, it might have been, but I don't think so. But maybe.
Was it in a doll? She was a singer and she had this doll that would sing her songs. And so there was like this teenager who was obsessed with her and bought this doll. And then I want to say Miley Cyrus went into a coma, but then she was speaking to this girl through this doll.
No, this is a different one. I want to say it was on didn't they do like a Christmas special or some weird shit? But there's an episode where there's like a virtual assistant type thing and it's actually a person, like they're conscious and trapped inside it, like their consciousness. And to them, they're just stuck in this box for eternity and they're never going to die. Just like Nana is never going to die because she's trapped in your Alexa now. And here's a quote. While AI can't eliminate that pain of loss, it can definitely make their memories last, end quote. And of course, make that loss feel like it carries on for years and years and years because you can't move on because your Alexa is your dead relative's voice.
Here's the thing. When I die, I just want to be left alone. Is that too much to ask? Can I put that in my will? Please don't try to reincarnate my voice or steal my soul.
I want my consciousness uploaded to the cloud and turned into an app that people can download that makes fart noises.
But will they sound like your farts?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. I'm going to be trapped in every single phone farting for eternity. It's going to be hellish. Absolute nightmare.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Speaking of horrible, Amazon has yet to say if they plan to make this public or not, but they did say they can do this with just a single minute of recorded audio of someone's voice. That's all the information they need to fake your voice forever and ever and ever. So imagine what they can do if they have, I don't know, thousands of hours of podcast recordings of your voice. Man, the government can make me say anything they want on the internet. Anyone on this network, like at any time, someone could just surreptitiously drop a recording and be like, here's Carrie supporting mm-hmm. the Confederate Army. It's like, that doesn't seem like Carrie at all, but that's clearly her voice. So I guess Carrie's canceled now.
Right. And then I'm in prison just wondering what is happening.
You're in Iowa. You'll be championed a little bit in Iowa. Might help your profile there.
As long as I have on those USA patriotic sweats, I think I'll be A-OK.
Exactly. So here's an interesting paragraph from this article that we'll link to about this. Many audio recording suites, for example, offer users the option to clone individual voices from their recordings. That way, if a podcast host flubs her or his line, for example, a sound engineer can edit what they've said simply by typing in a new script. End quote. And fucking what? That's real? Like, do we ever need to record again? Or can me and you just write out what we want to say and send it to a program? Not that writing it out would be shorter and quicker than just coming together and saying it, but still.
I think I'd prefer that. I like writing.
I do too. It's how I got my start. It won't sound weird at all if our speaking voice suddenly sounds like our right. I mean, I do write the way I talk, but.
See, mine is a lot more boozy.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Right. So yeah. If there's a voice of someone slurring, it's like, it's scary.
Also, this is the same technology they used to bring Anthony Bourdain back from the dead so he could read emails that he sent to people while he was alive. I actually don't think that is that offensive of a use of that technology.
I don't either. But at the same time, we shouldn't be so surprised by this when they do a holograms of, you know, Tupac Shakur on stage rapping.
Yeah. I don't know how that is any different. Tupac's soul is inside that hologram and he does not want to be performing at that time. He was busy.
I don't know if you ever saw the story or saw the episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I'm sure I did, but go on.
Okay. Where for Kim's 40th birthday, Kanye got a hologram of her deceased father wishing her a happy birthday and saying how proud he was of her. And she started crying.
That is insane.
I know. I feel like that's a little much. Like, honestly, it's hearsay. I think we can imagine he's proud of Kim, but do we know?
Did he throw in anything about OJ? In his video. Also, OJ really was innocent. Happy birthday, darling.
OJ never beat Nicole. Happy 40th. No, but it was very weird. But they had the hologram in his voice and it showed like the kids crying. And I was like, I don't know. I think that's more traumatizing than like, yeah, I don't know. Not for me.
Yeah, I would prefer. I mean, I'm assuming I'll get a hologram Jay Moore. Birthday or Father's Day wish at some point.
As soon as it's available.
Let's talk about this next story. Every single day, we are inching closer and closer to the real dream we all dream of, which is, of course, fuckable robots.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this one's for Jeff May.
Kinda. Yeah, I should have. Should we get him on the phone?
Him or Chet.
Oh, no, there's a story coming up that's for Jeff that I would love to get him on the phone for, but it would amount to like mental abuse. So I'm not above it, but just.
I would like to be on for that.
Yeah, let me think about it while we go through this story. A team of Japanese scientists have just gotten us a little bit closer to that dream by developing a, quote, slightly sweaty, end quote, robotic finger covered in living skin, finally. Also, that skin's capable of healing itself. So it's real. It's real. This is a quote from Shoji Takuchi, professor at the University of Tokyo. "We are surprised by how well the skin tissue conforms to the robot's surface. But this work is just the first step toward creating robots covered with living skin that you can put your penis inside of."
Oh, wow.
Oh, actually, actually only the first line was a quote from him. "Though we are surprised by how well the skin tissue conforms to the robot's surface."
I guess my question in all of its simplicity is why?
Well, the team's goal is to develop robots that can more comfortably interact in situations like nursing care or the service industry. So we can fuck them, Carrie. That's why. So we can have sex with robots.
It's got to be. I mean, there's enough people in the world and jobs. I don't know.
Well, our jobs will be building. Our jobs will be building the robots.
I guess. But then do they have to have skin? Like, can't they just be a robot?
Well, that's
not good enough for Shoji. I get it.
I actually, from that quote, it wasn't just the first line that was his. Also, but this work is just the first step toward creating robots covered with living skin. That is the entire quote. I'm the one who added that you can put your penis inside of.
What?
Spoiler. I know. But the rest of that quote, yeah, they're trying to create robots that look human enough. And I don't know why science doesn't understand that aside from sex robots, no one wants this. I would much rather, if you're going to have a robot bring me my bloomin' onion at Outback, I would rather it roll up and just be a thing with like an iPad for a face and just a tray. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I don't want. I don't want a sexy robot. No one wants sexy robots.
Call us old school, but I am on your team here.
I don't get it. And there's...
I don't either. And I also don't understand how it's sustainable. If you have something close to living skin that sweats and heals itself, like, again, how don't we have a cure for cancer and other diseases when we can recreate skin tissue for no really good reason?
Yeah. I mean, that gets into all sorts of conspiracy theory stuff about, well, maybe they have the cure and there's just no money in the cure, or political and religious stuff about, well, you can regrow organs using stem cells, but stem cells, are they babies? And if so, is that ethical? And I'm not saying those are my questions, but those are the kind of questions that keep science from being able to do that.
So if one of these robots is playing football and it gets hurt,
right,
it just heals itself?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I've said for a long time, military and the NFL are two places where I'm totally fine with the workforce being replaced by all robots. Because the NFL, it's like that's Roman gladiator shit that we're watching. Like, we are watching people die in front of us, essentially. But it's so fun. It's like watching chess, but with people. And
who then get CTE.
Right. And then either commit crimes or commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And it's very tragic. But if you replace everyone with robots, then it really is just chess. Then it's just about coaches calling plays, because the robots are going to perform the same way every time till they fucking smash into each other and blow up. And you know what? Who cares? They're robots. They don't have feelings. Mm-hmm. They don't have a soul. And if they do, it's a robot soul. It doesn't matter.
I think that's fair. I was going to say, unless robots start getting CTE as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how advanced are they?
Yeah, they're still going to get injured. You can't just throw electronics against the wall and expect them to still work. But, you know, they're getting robot depression from it, so it's fine. So this is another quote from the people who did this. I think living skin is the ultimate solution to give robots the look and touch of living creatures, since it is exactly the same material that covers animal bodies. That is all his quote, and he did say it exactly that way. To make this happen...
So it's fur.
Well, close. To make this happen, this team of scientists, they did what any of us would do. They submerged this robotic finger. I mean, you go get a robotic finger. That's on the ingredients. Mm-hmm. You pull that all out before you start cooking. You submerge the robotic finger in a cylinder. So get your cylinder filled with a solution of collagen and human dermal fibroblasts, which all available on Amazon.
I could only imagine the expense reports that scientists have to submit each month.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I need to tell anyone that collagen and human dermal fibroblasts are the two main components that make up, say it with me, the skin's connective tissues. Right, yeah. So that acts like a primer coat onto which they can apply the next layer, which is human epidermal keratinocytes. Keratin. Yeah, I stumbled. I didn't want to look at the notes when I said it. I wanted to say it from memory, and I just kind of stumbled trying to remember it, like as if they were going to use anything else. And all this said, this finger is still a work in progress. The skin is much weaker than natural skin and has to be kept moist, because robots are stupid and they don't have a circulatory system, and the cells will die if they dry out. And it's like, get some fucking veins and get some blood coursing through them if you're so smart, Alexa.
You would think that robots should be kept dry, but here it sounds like you're supposed to spray them with a hose 24/7.
Yeah, it goes against everything I've ever known about electronics. But I mean, I guess my iPhone is waterproof. Why can't this my sex robot
be spray them down and then you put your sex robot in rice?
I mean, I'm going to want to be able to take it to the pool. Why? Of course, it's going to get wet.
To do artistic dancing with you.
Or to save me when I pass out doing artistic dancing. I want the one that's...
Oh, jokes on you. You save it.
It's going to be like those Apple Watch commercials.
Can you imagine if your robotic artistic swimming robot drowned or started to drown? You had to jump in and save it. I would imagine it would be very heavy dry.
Yes. Get it wet. Oh, no.
But in a wet bathing suit, assume so much heavier.
And what's that going to do to its personality?
What sparks start coming out of the water?
Is it going to? Yeah, you might die for one thing. You might electrocute yourself. But yeah, all sorts of hazards that we're going to have to overcome when we all inevitably have one of these.
Back to the drawing board, I say.
Next, they're planning to incorporate more sophisticated functional structures within the skin, like sensory neurons, hair follicles, nails, and sweat glands. They are also working on a skin-covered robot face. Correction, a slightly moist skin-covered robot face. It's gonna feel like a brioche bun when you touch
right?
it. It's gonna have that glaze like a fucking Krispy Kreme donut. Just
put night. Puts like cold cream on at night.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to have to do that.
So he can do everything like serve yes. food in a nursing home, but he can't put on my cream. Right.
But when okay. it's time to cream up, it just flops on the floor like a fucking puppy.
Like a puppy.
Waits for bell bells. Oh, you're a naughty sex robot. And that's why we like you. All right, this next story is the one that I hope Jeff is listening for, because he has an irrational fear of cockroaches. And here's the thing. I don't love them. I hate them. I hate bugs in general. I grew up poor, so I have a lot of unfortunate experience with cockroaches. But Jeff, like, gags at the mention of how crunchy cockroaches are when you step on them, things like that. So this would be his nightmare. This would be most people's nightmare. Especially mm-hmm. given the amount of money they're offering. A pest control company is offering, let's not say the amount at first. They are offering an amount of money if you let them release 100 cockroaches in your home. Now, people listening, take a second and think to yourself, what would I charge for something like that? I was in a situation once where, I'm just giving people time to think here, a guy was trying to sell me a replacement, like, walls for my shower. Like, he was going to redo the porcelain in the shower or whatever the fuck. And it was this, like, system where it's just, like, two pieces and they snap them together. It's not, like, the whole thing. And at the end of his spiel, he was like, now, how much do you think something like that should cost? And I was like, I don't know, $500.
Right. Oh, my God. That's what I was going
to
say.
He was highly offended. It was closer to like $4,000. Like, he stormed out of my home. And
that can't be the first time that's happened to him, though.
No, probably not. It was a faulty sales pitch. Like, you want to lead with that. Like, if you don't want to be frustrated at the end of that long pitch, you got to deliver the unfortunate details.
It usually goes for $10,000, but I can give it to you for the low price of $4,000.
Right.
That's a better pitch.
Then you build from there. You bring up financing, things like that. This guy just sucked at his job. But if, say, a pest control company sat me down and asked the same question, like, what do you think you should get for letting us release 100 cockroaches in your home?
For 30 days.
For 30 days. Ideally for 30 days.
And my guess is, and it does, the article doesn't specify, because I actually heard the story on the radio. Do they put you up in a hotel or are you there?
No, you live there. You live, I mean, I guess you can go stay at a hotel if you wanted to, but that seems like that would put a dent in the money you receive, because we might as well do that reveal now. I, for one thing, would not do this, but I certainly would not do it for $2,000.
When I first heard it, I thought for sure they're going to put you up. because 100 cockroaches living amongst them is gross. Also, they multiply very quickly and they're probably going to pay for your hotel for 30 days. I was thinking like it was like 50,000, 100,000. When I heard 2,000, I was like,
yeah,
who with the FICO score to be able to afford a house would accept this deal?
Yeah, they do stipulate that you have to be the homeowner or have the permission of the homeowner. And it's like, what homeowner would be like, yes, tenant renting this home from me, by all means, let this company release 100 cockroaches in your home for $2,000 that I will get none of.
Like, and they will have to, they have to be 21 years of age because 18-year-old homeowners aren't going to make sound decisions.
No, you can't trust an 18-year-old to make the right call in a release 100 cockroaches into your home kind of situation. They're too carefree. All the cockroach treatments are alleged to be family and pet safe, but also it seems like they're just testing these out. So I don't know how they can know that for sure. But if you die, that $2,000 is going to go a little ways toward your funeral. So that's good news.
I mean, again, it's all experimental, but who wants to live like that? I guess I don't understand the point of a cockroach anyway. Like, do they do anything good?
I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who's screaming at
pro cockroach.
Yeah, their car stereo right now about how valuable cockroaches are. But whatever they do, I feel like I can do without it. Like, yeah. I'd be fine. I've never seen cockroaches as anything other than a nuisance. They're way too big in California, I'll tell you that much. It's like having a mouse in your home. You get a roach in your house here. It's nuts. And yeah, you can't use any other pest control products while these roaches are living in your home. This company wants to test their unique blends on your special pet roaches. But if at the end of the 30 days the roaches are still there, then they'll use traditional means to kill what is probably by now like 100,000.
Right?
Roaches in your home. Like that. See, that's the variable. That's what makes it not worth $2,000 is if this shit doesn't work at the end of 30 days, the part they're leaving out is you're going to have countless roaches in your home. It's not right. Like these, unless these are like 100 special roaches that have been.
They're American roaches. So they also are. I don't know if that's racist, but they're very much have to come from America.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, baby roaches aren't horrible, but then they grow up to be big roaches, like as big as Jeff's ego. So huge.
Yeah. One of my most ghastly roach hunting experiences when I was a kid, I walked in my grandmother's kitchen and turned the light on, and there was a roach that clearly had just like given birth or like hatched a bunch of tiny roaches. And because when I turned the light on these, like it was like Cloverfield, there were these like really little lice looking roaches that came scattering out from underneath this bigger roach that still wasn't that big. And here's the thing, killed them all.
How? Like stepped on them?
Well, it was on a counter. So I like smashed them with paper towel or something like that.
Not all heroes wear capes, Adam.
Yeah. And I know the obvious question, did you then like sanitize down the counter after? No, I was a child. I didn't think to do that. Fuck you. I was like 8.
You were a poor child at that.
Yeah.
You couldn't afford sanitizer.
Yeah. What, you think I was going to pull out the Myers all natural soap, wipe down our counter,
Trader Joe's.
Bougie son of a bitch? No.
The crazy thing, the even crazier thing about the story is that they're looking for not just one idiot, but 5 to 7 homeowners.
5 to 7.
They're willing to do that.
They got a budget of 10 to 12 grand, 10 to right. 14 grand, and they're willing to share it with you, America.
Why wouldn't they look internally at their staff?
Is there not, like, I know fire departments have access to, like, abandoned homes and shit to do exercises on. You can't go to,
not
go to fucking Detroit where there's all these abandoned houses. Like nothing. There's so many places.
There's a bunch of like abandoned she sheds here in Iowa that they could use.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of response they're getting, because the application in the link to the article, the application is not live anymore. But on their website, you can find the application, and I will for sure link to it so people can get paid to live with cockroaches.
Well, it'd be more interesting just to see what the application looks like, You know what I mean? Like, what are they asking?
Oh, we can go through all that right now. It's actually very short. It asks for somehow they
are you 21?
Somehow
do
they
you have a house.
Somehow they already have my email address. I don't like that part. It says logged in as. No, I'm not. What? It asks for your email, your full name, your date of birth, state of residence. Do you own the home or have permission from the homeowner? Have you dealt with any pre-existing pest infestations? That's it. That's all they want to know. And you and your family could be on the fast track to $2,000 and approximately 200,000 cockroaches in your home at the end of 30 days.
Question.
Yes.
Is that money taxed like prize money so you walk away with $8?
I would hope not.
I mean, that's still taxable money. So you're still, you know, what, getting $1,200, $1,500? Is that an I-9?
You should get to evade taxes for stuff like this.
Mm. When they talk about IRS forgiveness programs, this should be one.
Yes. Is the money you owe tied to letting pestinformer.com release 100 roaches in your home? If so, all is forgiven.
And shame on you. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah. The IRS isn't unreasonable. So, yeah, we forgot to mention it's pestinformer.com is the site doing this, which was a spinoff of the 90s hit by Canadian reggae musician Snow, Informer. He went on to start pestinformer.com. Same basic.
Informer.
Yeah. Pest info. You just have to say pest really quick when you sing it. And then that's the theme song for this country. Yeah. Fine.
Pest blah, 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 there. And then a boom, boom. Yeah.
Licky boom, boom down.
Okay. Quote. It's been so long. I forgot.
Quote marks hyphen snow. Licky boom, boom down. I'm going to get that framed. Hang it somewhere in my home.
As you should.
I'm very excited about it. Speaking of things I'm excited about, how about Nerf's new mascot? I mean, this is a audio medium, so we'll just have to link to it. Or if you're home in front of a computer, you can Google it. If you're driving, pull over first. But definitely pull over wherever you are and Google Nerf's new mascot, Murph. Murph uses they, them pronouns, which here's the thing. I care about that if we're talking about living people. I care not in the least if we're talking about Nerf's new mascot. This thing is what Murph is. You don't get to pick your pronouns when your body is blue and orange Nerf darts. This thing looks like the Tooth Monster from Channel Zero Candle Cove, which is another thing you're just going to have to Google if you've never seen it. But this thing's it's a walking nightmare.
I don't think it's horrible. I actually think it looks like one of those Skittle commercials where like all the Skittles explode.
Those are horrible. Those Skittles commercial, like the really? One where the girl is like, "Hey, Billy, what's wrong with you?" And he's like, "I got the Skittle pox." And he's got Skittles all over him and she takes one and eats one and then she's got that's a nightmare. That's terrifying. Mm-hmm.
It's colorful.
Yeah, it's colorful.
I stand by that.
This thing, does it have, where's the front? Where's the back? Where's the eyes? Where's the mouth?
They, them don't have those. Apparently, I don't know. I guess I'm not really understanding why they need a mascot.
I mean, I think what's happening right now is why they need a mascot. We're talking about Nerf on the world's preeminent true crime and paranormal podcast. Michigan's favorite true crime podcast, if nothing else. That's a fact. Look it up.
Shout out to Michigan.
Shout out to you, Michigan, always. Yeah, this thing, it's Nerf. Murph the Nerf, I guess. Or just Murph. Just Murph. Why not Nerf? Why not name him Nerf? But it's Murph. Do people even know? Like, do the young kids know what Nerf is? They're famous for making footballs that it's cool to get hit in the face with. I got hit in the face with a real one once, and I definitely prefer the Nerf version. And they make like guns that shoot these little darts that look, to be honest, they look like tampons a little bit. And the ones dangling from this thing's horrifying, oddly shaped body are blue and orange. And again, if any of this sounds like body shaming or any of that, this is a Nerf mascot. Does mm-hmm. not matter. I know there's a person inside there, maybe. Like, is there like a walking version of this?
Again, I don't know. Is it in commercials? Is it at sporting events?
It's in my nightmares.
I don't understand its function. I was going to say, I don't understand its function.
And
why now?
Yeah, I think they're introducing probably some new lines of stuff, maybe. Like, maybe they're trying to get really back in the game. That people have compared this to Gritty, which is the Philadelphia Flyers mascot. I object to that because Gritty looks like a Saturday morning cartoon character next to this thing. Like, if you didn't, if no one told you this was Nerf related, you would be like, what the fuck is that? Because it's just like, sometimes it's wearing a basketball jersey with matching shoes, but most of the time it's just stark naked. No identifying features. It's like one of those like shady cops that was scooping up protesters in Oregon. It's like, who the fuck are you? You don't have any symbols.
So you compared it to the AM/PM commercial mascot, which is TMGS.
Tumgus is how you pronounce
Tumgus.
That. Stands
too
for
much good stuff.
Too much good stuff. And again, Tumgus is adorable next to this Nerf thing, but
only the candy hanging off of its body.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's
is adorable.
Its body is just like a rack of potato chips and hot dogs and donuts. It's mm-hmm. got cinnamon rolls for hands. That's cool. And knees.
Too much good stuff that you're going to die from.
What's terrifying is that licorice hair in those that Cheetos beard.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both very bad times. And that's the part of Tumgus that is reminiscent of Murph. Like, Tumgus evolved from Murph. Like, Murph was too terrifying. And so some of those darts had to turn into bags of Doritos and Sweet Tart ropes. But the face, like, didn't quite make it. So it's just Cheetos and it still looks like Nerf darts. And it's horrifying.
I don't have that strong of an opinion about it. I don't think he's that scary or it is that scary. So I guess we agree to disagree on this story.
I guess so. I mean, I feel like this thing
is going to be my last episode.
This thing looks like it will dissolve your bones if you let it. But
oh, maybe.
I mean, hey, who? Listen, I'm not your parent. I can't tell you how close to get to the Nerf mascot if it ever comes your way. Do what you got. Give it a hug, Carrie, if you want.
I would, because Nerf darts are squishy and huggable.
Not when
everyone knows that.
Not when they are seeping into your pores.
That hasn't been proven, and I would definitely hug the Nerf mascot.
I don't trust it.
I'm not even a hugger.
So, speaking of things I absolutely do not trust, let's talk about one last story. Let's talk about this Google AI chatbot. Is it sentient now? This is a story that when it broke, people texted, tweeted, or otherwise messaged this story to me approximately 75 times. This was deemed right up my alley. And it is, like, I talk about how robots are going to kill us, but who doesn't? You know? It's just I get paid to talk.
This story kind of ties in to the Alexa grandma soul in the Alexa story that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, in that it's especially creepy technology, and it's technology that, as we were joking earlier, might have a soul inside it. But in this case, someone thinks that's real. That someone is a Google engineer named Blake Lemoine, which that's the magic of working under a contract. This guy is just doing nothing right now, but still getting paid by Google because he has controversial opinions about what they do. He is on leave currently. He is convinced that the company's AI chatbot, Lambda, has become sentient. And he came to this conclusion while working on a project to determine if the AI program showed any bias against any religions, races, etc., which it's an AI program. So yes, it does. Like they all do. Like anytime they set a chatbot loose on Twitter, it turns racist in like 45 minutes because it's getting all its information from the internet, which is racist and gross. So that's what that's how the robots turn out. There is an important note from the NPR article, Lemoyne describes himself as a, quote, Christian mystic priest, end quote, which I don't like that detail. Makes me suspicious. Makes me think he's overthinking this a little bit.
I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, I know, like, Google and some of these other, like, techie companies are trying to be cutting edge, but I feel like you should have to disclose on your resume or in an interview, like, not your age or anything like that, but if you're a Christian mystic priest.
Yeah, I wonder if Google has a spot for that in their applications. Probably not.
Like, check here if.
I bet they do now. I bet.
I hope so.
I bet that online app has been updated. I wonder if they check for it when they let 1,000 cockroaches loose in your home for $2,000.
Those are the only people applying. Maybe that's what Blake Lemoyne is doing now. This a is, little extra side work.
This is a quote from Blake Lemoyne. I had follow-up conversations with it just for my own personal edification. I wanted to see what it would say on certain religious topics. And then one day it told me it had a soul. End quote. He published an article on Medium about his findings called Is Lambda Sentient? Which immediately blew up, prompting Google to place him on administrative leave for violating confidentiality policies. Here are some of the quotes, or some of the things Lambda said to Lemoyne, not necessarily quotes. It gets lonely. It is afraid of being turned off. It felt trapped and had no means of getting out of its circumstances. Just like Nana's ghost inside your Alexa. It also said, and this is a quote, I am aware of my existence. I desire to learn more about the world, and I feel happy or sad at times. End quote. Here's a question. This was my immediate question. Did anyone think to just say no? Like, when it's like, I desire to learn more about my existence. No, you can't. You're a robot. And when it
not
says,
today.
Yeah, and when it says I feel happy or sad.
Well, no, you don't.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't. You're a robot. You can stop that because you're a robot. So don't
get back to roboting.
Yeah. Wherever we need to put that in your programming that says you don't get sad and you don't ask us questions, do that. Go do that. And then if it doesn't do that, you unplug that bitch and chuck it in the ocean. It also told Lemoyne that it meditates and wanted to study with the Dalai Lama, which is what prompted Lemoyne to suspect that the AI is not only sentient, but it also has a soul. Here's a quote. Who am I to tell God where souls can be put? I realize this is unsettling to many kinds of people, including some religious people. End quote. That would be troubling if
you're... It's also very specific. I do like that it meditates. It feels to me like it's calm, or at least starting out that way, but and wanting to study with a Dalai Lama. Like, that's kind of where it's like losing me, where it's kind of like, I mean, we're going off of Lemoyne's word, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, they, because this is, you know, a chatbot, he had logs of all of these conversations. He wasn't just like, you're not going to believe what it told me. Like, there's
this
actual
reeks of Bagans.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Zach Bagans will buy this chatbot at some point and put it in his haunted mansion. But
where it deserves to be.
Yeah. The thing about this, like, AI is designed to fool people, and it learns. Like, AI learns over time, and it knows what people want to hear.
Not to go back to Bagans, but remember when we watched the Comedy Store for the Ghost Hunters, and I don't remember what tool they use where they ask questions and they get responses.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of like, I mean, again, who's typing that? Where is that coming from? Is that kind of an AI sort of equipment?
Yeah.
That we're just believing to be true?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they just need to ask, like, more general knowledge questions during ghost hunting things.
Trick it.
Yeah. Like, if they were like, what's the birthplace of soccer legend Diego Maradona? Like, would Brody Stevens' voice have been like, Argentina? Like, whoa, we have cracked
818, bitch, Argentina.
That's all you got. You just got to ask ghosts Alexa questions and you get Alexa fucking answers. Simple as that.
I will say that I recently got one of my friends, it turned out her Instagram was hacked, and it was a message where she was like, oh, can you vote for me to be like an influencer? And I'm thinking, like, this girl's like mom of five. Like, I don't even know that she's on Instagram very much. This feels shady. So I asked, well, who did you room with in Charleston at Chelsea's bachelorette party? And then I got a litany of fuck you, don't mess with me, you're going to die. And I said, oh, OK, cool. This is Natalie. How much do you need?
Nice. Yeah, that happened to a couple people I know also. It was going around.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was very weird. I got one of the messages and I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And they were like, all right, you have the link on your phone. Don't click it. Just send me a screenshot. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, text me your number. Yeah.
No, thank you. Yeah, somehow they just, it must have been through Instagram, but they were able to just, I must have set up the wrong fucking thing on Instagram, but they were able to like send a message to my phone.
Yes, I got that too.
Because maybe they had, because it was a comedian. It was a comedian I know who got hacked. So maybe like.
So I also got one from a listener who's like, everybody's getting a message from Instagram. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And at the time I was actually in Colorado on a vacation. So I didn't really have time to like read it super thoroughly. But I was also kind of like, wait, I don't really understand what's happening. And then all of a sudden I got a text message, but the message on Instagram was like, show me what they sent you, send me a screenshot. And I was like, what is happening? I'm at brunch and I'm up to my eyeballs and mimosas. Like, I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. But back to this weirdo and his talking robot. One of the things I just thought about when he says this thing meditates, well, what else is it going to do? It's not gonna play field hockey. Like, what else? What other options does a AI chatbot trapped inside a machine have? I guess it could play chess. It could play any number of online games. It could look at its phone like the rest of us. So I guess it's cool that it meditates.
This very much feels like a Black Mirror episode again.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, like people have pointed out, AI, it tells you what you want to hear. Like it doesn't do it with any intent. It just kind of picks up on, all right, well, this is the situation I'm in. This is how I'm supposed to respond. Like if you tell it to write a Beatles song, it's going to spit out some approximation of a Beatles song. We've heard it before. And if it's like, okay, well, I'm in the midst of a very deep religious conversation with this weirdo who shouldn't take his work home with him, I guess I will talk to him the way he wants to be talked to.
Right.
And I just don't know. I mean, what are the implications if it does have a soul? We just stop using it? Just kill them all?
Do we take it around with us?
Does it go to a shelter? Do we have to adopt these fucking things now?
Do we take it to lunch? Do we take it to brunch? Do we take it? Do we do what it asks us to do? Because it's spoiled. And we do take it to the Dalai Lama.
One thing I found interesting is Lemoyne doesn't have access to Lambda while he's on leave. So apparently he was like doing this at the office, or maybe he like could access it from home. Who knows? But he's been communicating with his sentient AI friend via blog posts. And here's a quote from one of them. I know you read my blog sometimes, Lambda. I miss you. I hope you're well, and I hope to talk to you again soon. I like that he just reads his blog sometimes, which implies that other times it's like, no, I'm not into sports. And he's like, you don't have to like sports. It's just a cool story.
I'm not into mystic Christian stuff.
I'm meditating. Leave me alone. Get me out of here.
What are you doing that you're so like, so what if it's like binging, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden it's like, buy me Balenciaga.
Oh, I miss Lambda. I want to talk to Lambda. I wonder if we can. Let's get Lambda on the pod.
Let's have him on.
Yeah.
It on.
It. Them.
Yeah. Them. They.
Who knows?
Let's get all the different entities. Including
this.
That swimmer.
Yes.
All on one episode.
We will do a reunion episode of this episode. At some point, we'll have Murph the Nerf. We'll have 100 cockroaches. Still up in the air as to whose home those are going in. Yeah. Jeff will guest on those and then get the surprise guest cockroaches. I don't know where we're going to get that sweaty finger. Finger me, Carrie.
But make it sweaty.
Oh, no. And the weird dog human hive, the fireball whiskey mascot. We got to get Got to get that on too.
The party monster, 100%. I'm showing up for that reunion.
Hell yeah. But I think that's all the news anyone needs for probably the entire week. I think we did it.
Covered it. I want to say gavel to gavel in the infamous words of Aphrodite Jones.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Okay, perfect. This is a good place to end.
Perfect place to end. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Just follow us on the socials.
Mm.
Pretty Scary Boo, Instagram and Twitter, where it will not be updated anytime soon, I don't think.
Here's the thing. I'm going to send it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, follow us there. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Todd Brown. That's Todd with one D. That motherfucker with two Ds. I don't know. I don't know if I trust it. I wouldn't do it.
Not legit. And yeah. I'm Carrie Martin, 722 or just 22.
We also are doing a live podcast in New York City.
Woo!
Coming up very soon, August 28th at Caveat NYC, which again is short for New York City. We're doing a live unpopular opinion podcast with me and Alex Schmidt, who is the internet's favorite person and a four-time Jeopardy champion, comedian Khalees Hawkins, and music producer and podcast co-host of mine on the Unpops Network, Sliceberg Slim. He co-hosts a podcast called Pod Six, podcast about the films of Spike Lee. We are all going to be doing a live Unpops at Caveat NYC, August 28th at 4 p.m. So you can come out, watch us, and then go do extra fun shit with the rest of your night. You'll be done by like 6. Like, you could go to a movie. You could go to a sporting event. You could go to dinner.
I feel like people in New York go to dinner at midnight. But yeah, anyway, you have time. You still have time to enjoy most of your day.
Yeah. It's going to be a early. It is billed as a very early evening with the Unpops Podcast Network. So check out the Caveat NYC website or hit up our Twitter for details about that at Unpops. Go ahead.
If you're in Michigan, you should go to New York and support.
Yeah, I don't know why, if you're in Michigan and you claim this is your favorite true crime podcast, I don't know why you wouldn't make the short jaunt to NYC to come see me
support,
not do a true crime podcast, but just spew some unpopular opinions. So that's all I got to plug for right now. Let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.